This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Ron. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Mikey, David, how are you boys doing?
Doing okay.
We're holding up, and you're out in Arizona. You're getting ready. You got games on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, all at 2:55, and they'll be here on The Score. You and Zach doing the games. It's so weird to be coming back from the games in Japan and then playing some more spring training games before beginning in earnest on Thursday.
Yep. I would agree. I don't know what to do. It's kind of odd. And today, so I'm headed to the ballpark here when we get off the air in a couple hours and just for the workout. But today, we're playing today. Now, I would assume, and, you know, this is an educated guess, that you won't see the Cubs starting lineup playing today at Sloan Park. I hate to disappoint everybody, but everybody coming off the road, I would assume, would not play today, or most guys. Got to get some rest, and then maybe play one game. If you're an everyday player, play one game this weekend and try to get yourself back on track. Very odd situation. I would be very conscious of how guys are feeling in these next 3 days before you get the season started next week.
Well, it's unprecedented, so there's nothing to rely on for previous experience. Mm-hmm. So I think we're all kind of curious about how this will affect the progress or the typical rhythm of a spring training, because this interrupts that, Coombe. So I just wonder, what would you do if you're a player? If you're a guy who is, everybody loves to get into routines and rituals and protocol. If you're a Cub regular, say Dansby Swanson, maybe Ian Happ, a guy who's an everyday player,
yep.
Do you start over? Do you come back and try to fight through? What's the best approach, you think?
I've said this, if this were me, I'm not speaking for them, but if it were me and I was a veteran player, an everyday player on this team, I would come back, I would talk with the manager, and I would say, I will come out the next 3 days, I'll take my batting practice, I'll run around, take my ground balls, play a little catch, keep my arm in shape, and then after a couple hours, I'm going home. And I'd like to go home, and I'd like to sleep, and I would like to do that again the next day. And then maybe on Monday or so, I would like to play a game again and then just open up the season. You've played enough baseball, so your skills are honed to the point where that's what they're going to be going into the season, the regular season. But I think it's more important to get back on your normal schedule of life and sleep schedule than it is playing a spring training game. So I would be going home as early as possible from the ballpark, and I would be trying to get as much rest and sleep and try to get myself back on track as I could.
So, Ron, we saw a couple of roster moves. The Cubs option Jordan Wicks and Eli Morgan to AAA. That really has as much to do with the fact that they have options left as anything else. With Wicks, anyway, I'm just curious. You know, they don't have a lot of bullpen, left-handed bullpen help. I would imagine he will be back. I would imagine that this is kind of one of these ongoing situations as you kind of go through players, et cetera. Were you surprised that those moves were made, or do you understand they still have cuts to make?
No, I wasn't surprised. I didn't know about Morgan, but I did know for Wicks that the decision, whoever that was, and I don't know about Wicks, but the decision to send somebody to the minor leagues, and he's the young guy, so, you know, it's right. Kind of on him, I guess. But you want to keep those guys stretched out. You can't send them to the bullpen, Mike, and think, okay, we're going to do that. And then 3 weeks later, we need a spot starter. We need to start because a guy breaks down and he's going to be out for a month. And now you think you've got a starter because you've got a bullpen guy now. And what that does is it goes back to looking at Caleb Thielbar as a veteran lefty that you signed this winter and says, you know, to me, you're looking at a guy that you can trust. He's got good stuff. And that's going to be our lefty coming out of the pen.
So, Ron, when you look back at all that happened in the two games in Japan and you realize that the guy who didn't really get a chance to go to the plate was the guy who was your best hitter in spring training, Gage Workman, what does that, if anything, say about the Cubs' belief that he will be part of this roster? And knowing the implications of that because of the Rule 5 rules, how do you think that they'll handle the situation?
I'm not sure. You still got days left before you got to come up with your final roster, David. So I think that situation is still to be determined. Mm. He did not. He went to Japan, so you know that they feel very strongly about him. To me, if I were the manager, I'd keep him. But you know, you got other factors in play. He's had a great spring, but. That final decision, that final roster spot is still to be determined. But man, that kid has had a great spring. He really has. And he's checked every box for me. When he was playing the middle infield and he turned a double play before the team went to Japan on a close pivot at second base. So it wasn't just a routine pivot. It was a close pivot at second. He gets the double play and that was as smooth as could be. I went, wow, that's a 6'3", 220-pound guy that can run. That's making a pivot at second and second baseman. You know he can hit, he can steal bases. Now he can play the middle of the diamond. He checks all the boxes for me.
And, you know, two things about the roster and what's left. Nico presumably is going to be added to the roster. So that means someone's going to have to go. And I'm not saying it's Gage Workman, but there right. will be someone that is leaving the roster. We know that. And then the other thing is with Brad Keller, it's my understanding he has an out option if he doesn't make the Major League Ball Club. So you could bring him back, but you'd need a 40-man spot. That would mean that you would have to make a move, and it would probably be Ben Brown back to Iowa, where you could leave him stretched out, etc. But I just don't know how complicated those final two moves on the roster are, one with a position player and one with a pitcher.
Yeah, the pitcher one, I would think you're really trying to figure out who, you know, if you want to keep a guy,
yeah,
how do you keep him, right? And then figure out that 26th man. It's a difficult decision. Ben Brown brings something to the table. Like, he threw three innings in that game, 2 2/3. And, you know, that's the first time he's pitched since all this injury stuff with his neck and things, Mike. So that shows me that they get a lot of confidence in that guy to pitch extended innings. I would think you're probably leaning towards keeping Ben Brown. And his stuff, I can understand why. You know, the other issue that the Cubs have right now is with that final roster spot, if you have a day or two or three days where Pete Carrstrong tweaks something, who plays center field?
That's a good question.
That's the other big question.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Ron, you know,
right? So
yeah, you go ahead, finish that thought because I think
please do. Go ahead, David.
No, you mentioned PCA. He was having a great spring. You look at the Cubs overall before they headed to Japan. It was a good spring. There were good things happening. I just wonder, you know, the people that watch those games and frustrated at the 0-2 start and not hitting with runners in scoring position and being drawn back to last year. And oh yeah, they were tough games to watch. You got up early and you were kind of disappointed. Does that really trump anything else that happened up to that point in spring training? How do you balance those two competing forces, the optimism that comes with spring training, the Cubs were looking good, with the disappointment of them returning from Japan 0-2?
Well, you're playing the best team in baseball for the last few years, maybe last 10 years. So they've got this understanding with their roster of how to win and how to do things, little things right to help you win, especially on offense. And the Cubs, to be honest, they didn't play clean baseball. So that's why they lost. You know, you have walks to the number 9 hitter in front of Ohtani multiple times. You can't have that. That's not going to work. You have some mistakes being made on defense. When you're playing the best team in baseball, you can't make those mistakes. The Cubs did. The Dodgers really didn't, and they won. The Cubs have had a great spring. I really believe that, and they're a very good team. So you played the best team, and a couple plays cost you both games.
This is not going to be a popular question, Ron. Just prepare yourself. So the Cubs trade Cam Smith for Kyle Tucker. They trade three players, and one of them is their prospect, Cam Smith. And he is killing the ball in Houston. They're talking about starting the season with him as their right fielder. They've moved him to the outfield. He's just hitting everything. And so he's like winning the Grapefruit League by himself. They're talking about Rookie of the Year stuff, etc. And you see him hit, and he's got this unbelievably, like the noise of the bat is incredible. And he's got this sweet swing. And then you look at Matt Shaw, and I don't know how to ask this question correctly, but he has about as unorthodox a way of swinging as I may have seen. He's kind of on the top of one toe, and he's turned his rear end one way, and then he kind of makes some contact, but the foot sometimes lands on the side. It's just a very strange swing. Generally speaking, would you prefer a guy that could swing, and I'm going to use the term normally for lack of a better term.
Right.
But like
more
kind
orthodox,
of with
right?
the, yeah. yeah, more orthodox, more of a, because I know this is not connected, but I think of Paul Edinger was the kicker for the Bears who did this little corkscrew thing and no one else ever did it. And I remember talking to the special teams coordinator when this guy went off the boil, they didn't know how to fix him because they'd never seen anyone that had that style. Does the same thing come into play when you're talking about a hitter? When someone has an unconventional style, is it harder to fix that than a free-swinging guy?
I would think, in general terms, I would say yes, Mike. I would say with Shaw, I would say no. As a hitting guy and somebody who has talked about hitting and been with, you know, people that have been great hitters and great hitting coaches since, you know, I was 20 years old in the minor leagues, he's unorthodox, but it's not something that's over the top. He pigeon toes his front toe in to keep his front side closed. That's just a trigger for him. So that, even though it looks kind of strange, if you went back to 1975, that wouldn't be all that strange. You know, you had a lot of guys, the George Hendricks, and a lot of guys who hit with a real closed stance. So that part is okay to me. The hovering of his foot when his foot comes up, a lot of guys have hit with a leg kick. You know, and the guy that I always try to tell people about, if you want to watch a great leg kick hitter, was Harold Baines. Harold kicked that leg up, hands went down, hands went back up. The key is getting your foot back down, the front foot back down on the ground early, so then you can recognize the pitch. So even though he looks a little unorthodox and he's closed, it's not as crazy as you might think. And there's just certain keys. Getting his front foot down will always be something that he's got to be concerned about. Getting the foot down before you recognize the pitch and you start to attack the baseball, that's going to be a huge key for him, like it is just about every hitter. So I would say for Shaw, it's not that biggest concern for me as a hitting guy. I look at it and go, yeah, it looks a little different, but still the same issues. that all hitters have.
Okay, now do say Suzuki-kun, because did not like what I saw the first two games. What's wrong? What's going on? He'll be fine.
Hold on, can I get some more coffee after
this? I'm sorry, Kum. This is tough. It's been a long week, man. It's been a long week.
But how was the Kansas in Kansas and Arkansas game? I watched that yesterday. No. Suzuki's fine. I watched him all spring. He's fine. You know, the biggest thing for him is he's gotta stay on the pitch away. They're gonna pound him away and force him to hit that ball away because he's so strong on the ball inside that he's going to have to hit the slider away. They're going to pitch him in and, you know, pitch him inside for show and go outside to try to get him out. And that's just the facts. That's what they're going to do. And until he hits that ball away regularly to right center or is able to do damage to the middle of the field, which, you know, big power hitters can do, where they can cover that outside corner and drive it to the middle of the field, he's going to have to show that. That's just the way it is. And when they make a mistake inside, he's going to make them pay. But right now, the Dodgers did a good job of pitching him in off the plate and then staying away from him. And he's got to make that adjustment.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it was frustrating because the 2, 3, 4 hitters, you know, everything that you saw out of that, it was just not good enough. And I think that, you know, you came away from that series. Again, they're playing a great team, great pitchers, but they didn't score enough runs and they didn't hit with runners in scoring position. And it was almost like a continuation of some of the issues we saw last year.
I would agree. I don't disagree. That's what you saw. It's the one thing we did not see this spring all that much. You saw it a little bit, but not nearly as much. You got a lot of big hits. The other thing about spring training that you got to remember too is the Cubs have won a lot of games, but a lot of the games are won. The young kids really played well. Mm-hmm. So you're really expecting them to do well. Pete Carmstrong had a huge spring. So some of the young guys that you're counting on, Michael Bush, all these guys, they're going to have to perform now that the lights go on. And, you know, I expect them to honest with you. I really do. And I think Shaw, until he shows he can't hit in the big leagues, you got to leave him alone and let him hit. He's hit everywhere he's ever been. I don't feel like all of a sudden now this style thing is going to change and it's not going to work. I think he's going to hit in the big leagues also. I really do.
All right, Kum, I want to finish on a
positive. The young guys got to do well.
I want to finish on a positive, though, so we can agree on two things. Number one, Matt Shaw's base hit was not a single. It was an error. I think, as you point out, you have the gloves for a reason. You need to make that play. And number two, Ohtani's home run was a double. It was not a home run. It did not go out of the park.
Are we trying? First series? We're butchering it up already.
I know.
We didn't even get out of the first two games, and we get two decisions, got them both wrong. Come on, Major League Baseball. Let's get a one-hopper to the pitcher. That was like Olivia. The 12-year-old kids, if I go to Clarence Little League in Chicago, my old Little League, we make that play. I'd be mad if I didn't make that play at 12. I mean, come on. What are we – just for poor Matt Shaw, do you want that for your rest of your baseball life to be known as your first hit? Throw it back like a fish. Throw it back. Now, let's try again.
I agree.
Don't bring up fishing. All right, Kum. Thank you, buddy. Great stuff.
See you, Kum. Have a great weekend.
You too, boys. Yep. Take care.